Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. Woo! Podcast number 52. Man, gotta love that. 52 podcasts. You realize, of course, that means one full year of podcasting. Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. This is Dr. Bill here. You're there, and life is good. Now, first of all, let me explain to you what has happened. Late breaking news. I screwed up the first time I tried to record the podcast. The whole podcast was lost. Lost to antiquity. However, it was a good thing, perhaps, because I was not in the groove. You see, there's this groove, okay? If you're old enough to remember 33.5 RPM records, before that, of course, we had 45s, and before that, of course, we had 78s, but I digress. There were records, you see, they were vinyl, and they had little grooves in them. And you put the needle in the groove, and the needle would vibrate, and it would go through the little electrical doohickey, and down the little wires, and to the amplifier, which would then go to the speakers, and you'd have sound. It was an amazing technology. It was called analog, and it had lots of pops and cracks and various noises, you see. So that was bad. But that's what the groove, you see, it represented the groove. The needle was in the groove. I, however, in the last attempt to record this podcast, was not in the groove. And of course, if your needle leaves the groove, it skips and goes pop. And never mind. You get the point. The thing is, this is the 52nd edition of Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, the podcast. And it is, of course, worthy of celebration. And so, we, as promised, have a contest. Now, first of all, here's what you have to do. You have to go to www.thecomputercurmudgeon.com. That's thecomputercurmudgeon.com. Go there. You'll be presented with a page. It'll say, Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, the doctor is in. And you'll go, I must be in the right place. And over on the right-hand column, yeah, I know, there's a little search bar. Kind of ignore that for now. Look below it. It says, click here to enter our contest. And you notice when you hover over the here, yes, it's a link. Links are good. The whole World Wide Web is made of links. So click on this one and watch what happens. Yes, you'll be presented with a form. Enter our contest to win a 512 meg memory stick. Celebrate our first year of podcasting. And of course, you can do that. You can enter your first name, last name, email address, and send the doctor a comment. Let's keep it clean, shall we? Yeah. Send that. After all, if you offend the doctor in any way, then your contest entry may be voided. Yeah. Anyway, fill that out. Send it in. It will go into my email, into a special folder that I have created called Contest. And from that list, we will randomly pick one person. Yeah, I know I'd like to pick more, but the budget is limited here. One person to win a 512 meg memory stick, and it will be shipped to you anywhere in the world that you happen to be. And of course, if you win, we'll have to get your regular mailing address, because I'll need that, you know, to mail it to you. That's just kind of how it works, basically. Okay, here's what we want to do on the podcast today. First of all, I have to remind you that we are part of the Tech Podcast Network.
This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network.
TechPodcasts.com.
If it's tech, it's here.
If it's tech, yes, indeed, it is here on Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. The other thing that I want to do is I want to spend a little time in the podcast celebrating the geek culture weirdness that you've come to know and love so well from Dr. Bill. And this week, I have a very, very special, special thing I want to share with you. Do you remember long ago on the podcast, I played the audio from a video done by three dead trolls in a baggie. Yes, indeed, that's the name of the comedy group. Three Dead Trolls in a Baggie at deadtroll.com. You can go there and actually see the video. Every OS sucks. Well, it turns out they did a high-quality, very crisp and clean MP3 version of their song that has never been played on Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon before. And, of course, we want to play it for you now.
Well, hi there. Thank you for downloading another fine quality comedy product from Three Dead Trolls in a Baggie and your friends at mp3.com. Good for you. Of course, if you've downloaded this from Napster, screw you! You know what? Free isn't good enough for you? You gotta rip us off? That's okay. I will find you and I will kill you. You see, I come from a time in the 1970s when computers were used for two things. To either go to the moon or play Pong. Nothing in between, you see. And you didn't need a fancy operating system to play Pong, and the men who went to the moon, God bless them, did it with no mouse, and a plain text-only black and white screen and 32 kilobytes of RAM. But then round about the late 70s, home computers started to do a little more than play Pong. Very little more. Why, computers started to play games and balance checkbooks. Why, you could play Zaxxon on your Apple II or write a book, all with a computer that had 32 kilobytes of RAM. It was enough to go to the moon, it was enough for you. It was a golden time, a time before Windows, a time before mouses, a time before the internet and bloatware, and a time before every OS sucked. Well, way back in the olden times, my computer worked for me. I'd laugh and play all night and day on Zork 1, 2, and 3. The Amiga VIC-20 and the Sinclair 2, the TRS-80 and the Apple II, they did what they were supposed to do. Wasn't much, but it was enough. But then Xerox made a prototype. Steve Jobs came on the scene. Red of mice and menus, Windows icons, a trash, and a bitmap screen. Old Stevie said to Xerox, "Boys, turn your heads and cough." And when no one was looking, he ripped their interfaces off. Stole every feature that he had seen, put it in a cute box with a tiny little screen. Mac OS 1 ran that machine, only cost $5,000. But it was slow, it was buggy, so they wrote it again, and now they're up to OS 10. They'll charge you for the beta, then charge you again, but the Mac OS still sucks. Every OS wastes your time, from the desktop to the lap. Everything since Apple DOS, just a bunch of crap. From Microsoft to Macintosh to Linux, every computer crashes, cause every OS sucks. Well, then Microsoft jumped in the game, copied Apple's interface with an OS named Windows 3.1. It was twice as lame, but the stock price rose and rose. Then Windows 95, then 98. Man, Solitaire never ran so great, and every single version came out late, but I guess that's the way it goes. But that bloatware'll crash and delete your work, and DME, man, none of them work. Bill Gates may be richer than Captain Kirk, but the Windows OS blows and sucks at the same time. I'd trade it in, yeah, right, for what? It's top of the line from the CompuHut. The fridge, stove, and toaster never crash on me. I should be able to get online without a PhD. My phone doesn't take a week to boot it. My TV doesn't crash when I mute it. I miss ASCII text and my floppy drive. I wish VIC-20 was still alive. But it ain't the hardware, man. It's just that every OS sucks and blows. Now there's Linux or Linux, I don't know how you say it or how you install it or use it or play it or where you download it or what programs run, but Linux or Linux don't look like much fun. However you say it, it's getting great press, though how it survives is anyone's guess. If you ask me, it's a great big mess for elitist, nerdy schmucks. It's free, they say, if you can get it to run. The geeks say, hey, that's half the fun. Yeah, but I got a girlfriend and things to get done. The Linux OS sucks. I'm sorry to say it, but it does. Every OS wastes your time from the desktop to the lap. Everything since the abacus, just a bunch of crap. From Microsoft to Macintosh to Linux. Every computer crashes, cause every OS sucks. Every computer crashes, cause every OS sucks.
Ah, yes. Wes and the boys at Three Dead Trolls in a Baggie singing Every OS Sucks. And I don't know why he has such a hard time pronouncing Linux. We know it's pronounced Linux because we have, yes indeed, a recording of Linus Torvalds himself saying,
"Hello, this is Linus Torvalds, and I pronounce Linux as Linux."
Yes indeed, you heard it here. I pronounce Linux as Linux. There you go. So, you see, we have informed you, we have educated you, we have trained you in the ways of the computer, and being the computer curmudgeon, we have reminisced about everything from the 70s, 80s, 90s, and now into the 21st century. We have to have computers, you see, because computers enliven and engage our culture, and they give us things that we certainly could not live without. I know you could not live without the Numa Numa song.
Eu, un haiduc, și te rog, iubirea mea, primește fericirea.
Alo, alo, sunt eu, Picasso, ți-am dat bip și sunt voinic, dar să știi, nu-ți cer nimic.
Ah, yeah, gotta love the little eyebrow twitch. Numa, numa, yay! Numa, 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 yay!
Chipul tău și dragostea din tei, mi-amintesc de ochii tăi, ei.
Ah, yes, what would we do without geek culture? How would we spend our time? Maybe talking about serious issues on the podcast, things that, of course, take tremendous amounts of time away from our geek culture, but yet, if we didn't talk about the serious things on the podcast, perhaps we would not even have geek culture. If we let people like Senator Ted Stevens have his way and destroy net neutrality.
I would call your attention to Title IX. It really is the Internet Consumer Bill of Rights. Now, we have consumers who use this Internet, and we have commercial users who use this Internet. Unfortunately, your comments bring them together. I would call the committee's attention to an article that was called to my attention by my wife, as a matter of fact, in the International Herald Tribune. We talk about the World Wide Web. This demonstrates that nowhere,
now,
nowhere
you
in
know,
the world
this
today
is the,
is there the kind
long and boring version of Ted Stevens' speech, but we have a version that was pieced together by Paul Holcomb, which is a little bit more educational and entertaining in a geek culture way. And, of course, that's the one that we want to play.
The Internet. It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes.
Now keep in mind, this is the same audio we just heard from his speech. Paul's just taken it and mixed it with a little music and gives us this lovely geek culture.
Internet was sent by my staff at 10 o'clock in the morning on Friday. I got it yesterday. Tangled up tubes. Because it got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the Internet commercially.
I think it's absolutely essential to provide streaming stuff going on the Internet. the troops.
Yes, indeed. Senator Holcomb from Alaska, who also had the bridge to nowhere at all. Great idea, really. Anyway, he was desperately trying to explain in much the manner of Professor Irwin Corey, if you are old enough to remember him. You know, he would get up with his pointer and point at the screen, and he'd go on and on and say nothing at all, but it was very funny. Yeah, same bit here, but it's not as funny.
We are saying that they cannot. I think it's absolutely essential. And the center, whether you realize that, you're asking for regulation for massively invading this world of the internet.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. I thought you were finished. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not finished. But when we take... And
sadly, he's not finished. He just keeps going on and on and on and on and on. But, of course, we can fade him out. Would that we could do it for real, but unfortunately we can't. You see, the problem with the issue of net neutrality is that people don't understand it. They don't grasp the meaning and the importance of net neutrality. And so, since Senator Ted Stevens, who obviously as chairman of the Commerce Committee, explained it so clearly that the internet is not a big truck, but it is a series of tubes, yeah, I think we need another expert. I think we need someone who is impeccable in his standing and expertise, who can explain to us what net neutrality is all about. Yes, indeed.
Well, I am Ninja, he is Ninja, she is Ninja too. I am Ninja, we are Ninja.
Who better than the Ninja?
I believe that you are Ninja.
Go for it, dude.
Ask a Ninja, special delivery, net neutrality, in case you don't know what's going on. Okay, let's just pick somewhere where everybody likes to be. Watching the girl at Hot Dog on a Stick make lemonade. I think we can all agree that's pretty compelling. But then, like, the big internet service provider puts up a wall and says you can't watch the girl at Hot Dog on a Stick make lemonade unless she pays us. Meanwhile, they're trying to make you watch Robin Williams' cousin make bacon juice, and he's got, like, a mesh shirt on, and there's lots of hair. He's, like, just as hairy as Robin Williams, but not even as funny as Robin Williams is not. He's just squeezing bacon into a cup, and they're like, hey, that's the same as watching the Hot Dog on a Stick girl make lemonade. And you're like, no, it is not! Hello! I want to see the girl in the tricolored funny hat doing a funny motion that produces something that I like. That's what the internet is all about. People in funny hats making things that people like. When Vince Cerf invented the internet, that was his whole goal. And then the big internet service providers are like, well, we can make a fake version of that, and you're like, can't I just do that? And they're like, well, only if those people give us some fried cheese. And everybody's like, but it's already there. Can I just see it? And they're like, not while we have this big wall that's built out of the shredded First Amendment, and they hold it together with Lou Reed. That's a glue made from greed. But it's not Lou Reed. That guy's pretty cool. Net neutrality. Net neutrality. I really need to get some backup singers.
Yeah, that would help. Backup singers. That would add something to it, I guess, you know, but without net neutrality, you see, getting back to our subject, of course, without that, we could not enjoy such great viral weirdness as, oh, I don't know, all your base heart belong to us.
All your base, all your base, base, all your base, belong to us.
And you'll notice that All Your Base Heart Belong to Us was the very first weird viral geek culture video thing that we did on the program. So that's why we're playing it. Not to mention that it's just kind of cool and bouncy. Bouncy, 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 bouncy. Yes, All Your Base Heart Belong to Us. And without net neutrality, would we have such things to enjoy on the internet, I ask you? Perhaps not. Okay, enough voyaging down memory lane for this week. Yes, indeed, it's time for the tech news, which, of course, you get here every week on Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon. Now, of course, we'll give you this disclaimer. We don't give you all the tech news. No, that would be hard, and we don't want to do anything hard now, do we? No, we want to do something that simply got my attention throughout the week, something that I blogged about on thecomputercurmudgeon.com, which, by the way, I do want to remind you, we have a contest going. If you go over to the right-hand column, to the top of the right-hand column, and click here to enter our contest, you can enter the contest. Go do that. I'll go ahead and go do that while I'm talking to you. You might as well, you know, hey, you can listen to me and enter the contest at the same time. Right? It's kind of like chewing gum and walking at the same time, but surely you can do that, right? Okay. If you can't, it's okay. You can do it afterward. But be sure to do it. Here we go. Also, another key thing that you need to do, that same right-hand column, as you scroll further and further and further down that column, you will notice there is a little thingy, that's a technical term, thingy there, that says, click here to stick a pin in Dr. Beal's Frapper podcast listener map. Some of you have not done that yet. I know that because I happen to know that 1,152 people downloaded the podcast. Let's wind that back. Downloaded the podcast this past month, and not every one of you have clicked on the Frapper map and stuck a pin in Dr. Bill. No, I'm in the map, not me, in the map. You can pretend if you want, you know, that's up to you. But anyway, weird people out there. All right, the tech news, that's what we were getting to, the tech news for this week. First of all, Intel has a hot new chip, and hot is in quotes for a reason. It is actually hot. It's fast, which is cool. After all, it is a Core 2 Duo processor. But it's also hot in that it gives off heat and therefore can cause you to have a burned lap. Not good. So, read the whole review by clicking on the little link there in the story that I wrote this week on the blog from August the 28th. Click there and you'll be able to read the review of the new Merom chip. Merom. It's almost, if you look at it, it looks like it ought to read backwards and say something. But it doesn't. It's just kind of just a weird name. I don't know why they did that. But at any rate, they have a new chip. Go check it out. Next item, AOL is dissed again. You gotta love that. AOL, a bane to the existence of true Netopians everywhere. Yes, indeed. AOL, dissed again. How are they dissed, you ask? Because a coalition of large, knowledgeable internet companies like Google, Lenovo Group, Sun Microsystems got together and said, let's create a coalition of elite people who know what they're doing called StopBadware.org to try to stamp out malware and badware throughout the internet. A great cause, I might add. And so they begin to list programs that they looked into, they studied, and they determined this is badware. This is bad stuff. And AOL version 9 software made the list of badware, along with RealPlayer, QuickTime, Got Pictures Screensaver, Pure Networks Port Magic. Oh, lots of badware out there. It's disguised as real stuff, but it's really yucky stuff, I'm telling you. And AOL made the list. Made my week. All right, next item. Ubuntu. Ubuntu. Interesting name. It's actually an African word. And it has something to do with we're all just family. We're all just one big happy group of people gathered together holding hands and singing Kumbaya, my Lord. You know, that kind of thing. Oh, yes, let's join in. Kumbaya. Yeah, okay. Anyway, Ubuntu. Community, you see, comes from the fact that it is a community-based Linux distribution. And according to Stephen J. Von Nichols from DesktopLinux.com, that is probably why it is the number one most popular Linux desktop of all time in their survey. Now, he happens to think that other distributions, like even FreeSpire, have a shot. But the thing is, FreeSpire has just gone community-based. Linspire, the commercial version, of course, is developed by the company Linspire, and they released FreeSpire to be developed by the community of FreeSpire developers. So, over time, perhaps, it will begin to be as popular as Ubuntu, however you pronounce it. I don't know how you pronounce it. I know how to pronounce Linux, though. Anyway, so, check it out, the most popular Linux desktop to date. Who knows if that will change. Next item and last item for the week, Geek Software of the Week. We love those Geek Software of the Weeks because, after all, what I do is I select software that is very geeky, very cool, but also very free, so that you can enjoy installing, downloading, installing software that will benefit you. And this one is very beneficial. However, it is beneficial to those poor individuals who must use Outlook. And I know, you shouldn't have to use Outlook. It is, after all, made by the evil empire. Anyway, you shouldn't have to use Outlook. But some of us, unfortunately, have to. Not me at home. No. Not in my consulting company. Not at all. No. But where I work, where my main contract is, 40 hours a week, at an institution that I shall not name at the moment for the reason that I'm about to give, which is that they have chosen to be an all-Microsoft shop. Of course, they did hire Dr. Bill now, didn't they? And just this past week, I built a Red Hat server. But I digress. Anyway, no. For the desktop, however, it is truly all Microsoft. It's Windows XP, running Office 2003, and Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and Outlook. Now, of course, I would prefer that you use Thunderbird, Mozilla Thunderbird. You can go to mozilla.com, mozilla.com. Look at the little Thunderbird, little blue-winged Thunderbird, looking very cool. Click on that, and you can download the Thunderbird email client. And it has built into it spam filtering that is Bayesian. Spam filtering, Bayesian, in that sense that it learns. It's actually artificially intelligent enough to learn from the email that you label as spam. How cool is that? Now, if you can't use Thunderbird, I'm sorry if you can't, like me at work, and you have to use Outlook, you can still have Bayesian spam filtering with this Geek Software of the Week, Spam Bayes. Get it? Spam Bayes. Bayesian spam filtering. Yeah, you got it. All right. Here's what you do. You click on the link in the blog that will take you to spambase.sourceforge.net. Go there. Download the SpamBase Outlook plugin, install it, and you will get a little doohickey button, a little yellow button, in your Outlook where you can click on that when you have highlighted a spam message, and it will learn that it is spam, and it will go, this is spam. Now, many years ago, as a child, growing up in the southern states of our fair country of the United States, we had a phrase that everyone would use, including a coach in school, who would say, you can't tell spam from ham without a program. Now, here's the thing. Back then, spam was just a meat, you know, or meat-like thing. It had nothing to do with email. But back then, he would use this phrase, you can't tell spam from ham without a program. Now, he meant a program like you get, you know, when you go to an event and it's a program and you read it. But I thought it was cool that you can't tell spam from ham without a program like SpamBase. Okay, it's lame. All right, it's lame. I'm sorry. Yeesh. Everybody's a critic. Oh, well. Anyway, remember the contest. This was the 52nd podcast of Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. And to celebrate that, you can click on the here link there at the top of the column, the right-hand column. Click here to enter a contest. Don't forget to scroll down a little further after you enter the contest and click on the Frapper map and fill out that Frapper map because I want to see where you're coming from. People are all over the world listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. You poor bored folks. Bless your darling hearts. Listening to the doctor. But we appreciate it. We really do. Yes, indeed. And of course, remember until next week, the doctor is out of here. I'm so out of here. I'm just leaving now. Bye. We'll see you later. Did I mention it was the 52nd podcast? Dude!